Okay, so we're diving right in today.
Diving right in.
You guys have been sending in so much stuff about globalism, all the good, the bad, all the conspiracy theories around it. So we decided to tackle it head on.
Head on.
And we're doing that with this source, Navigating Global Systems, A Citizen's Guide to Local Power.
Great source.
But we're not going to talk about shadowy cabals or, anything like
We
that.
got to cut through the
We're
noise.
going to cut through the noise. We want to see how these big systems actually affect us on an individual and community level
For sure.
and what we can do about
What can we do?
it. So first, what even is globalism? Because I feel like I hear it everywhere,
It's one of those terms.
but it's always so vague.
Yeah, it's a very loaded term. At its core, globalism is this idea that the world's getting more and more interconnected. Goods, people, ideas, all moving more easily across borders. And it's driven by trade, technology, international organizations. So think about the UN, the World Trade Organization, or even just these huge companies pushing for the same rules everywhere you go.
That makes sense. So not necessarily some evil puppet masters behind the curtain, but a lot of powerful players on a global chessboard.
I like that.
But do these so-called globalists actually control governments?
Well, it's more about influence than control, I'd say. Like trade agreements, for example, NAFTA or the EU single market. Those incentivize countries to play by certain rules to get those economic benefits.
So it's not like some secret society giving orders. It's more like leaders acting in what they see as their best interest, even if that means kind of going along with these systems.
And leaders, they have to respond to all these different pressures. We've got global markets, treaties, public opinion. So it's really not this single puppet master situation. It's more like a whole puppet show with a bunch of strings.
With a lot of different strings being pulled.
Lots of different strings, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense because you see like policies pop up in multiple countries at the same time. Like suddenly everyone's talking about a carbon tax or a social media regulation. It can feel like there's some coordination happening.
That's what fuels those globalist conspiracy theories. It's that hidden hand controlling everything. But oftentimes it's less about a secret plan and more about shared challenges.
That makes sense.
Countries facing similar economic or environmental problems, they might end up with similar solutions. It doesn't mean they're getting orders from some secret society. It just means they're dealing with the same problems.
Okay, so speaking of those theories, let's address the elephant in the room.
Let's do it.
The one world order.
Oh boy.
Is there really a single group calling all the shots?
Let's be clear about this. There is zero evidence of a single entity running the show.
Got it.
Yes, there are powerful individuals and groups that advocate for global cooperation. But that's completely different from some centralized one world order.
But what about like the Bilderberg meetings, the Trilateral Commission, families like the Rothschilds? They're real, right? They're not just
They are real.
internet myths.
They do exist, but their visibility doesn't automatically mean they're carrying out a secret plan to rule the world.
That's true.
If anything, a true one world order would probably try to be a lot less obvious.
Yeah, good point.
Good deal.
So, if not a secret cabal, then who is shaping this global landscape?
Well, it's not a single villain in a lair. It's more like a network of powerful figures, institutions. We're talking heads of state, central bankers like the IMF, Federal Reserve, CEOs of massive corporations like BlackRock or
So
Amazon.
no Illuminati, just good old-fashioned power and influence on a global scale.
Pretty much, yeah. And they wield this power through boardrooms, lobbying, media, international organizations like the G20 or NATO. And their interests, they aren't always aligned.
They're going to bump up against each other, I think.
Exactly. You'll see governments clashing with corporations, international bodies disagreeing. Even within those groups, you'll have different factions.
So it's a messy web
It
of
really is
competing interests.
a messy web, yep.
Okay, so what are those interests? What do these globalists, and I'm using that term,
I know it's a loaded term.
in quotations, what do they actually want?
Well, if we strip away all the, sinister interpretations, a lot of it comes down to stability and growth. Governments want trade deals to boost their economies.
That makes sense.
Corporations crave those predictable markets. And international bodies often push for cooperation on these global issues like climate change, pandemics.
Sure.
They want to create a world that works for them.
Right.
Whether that benefits everyone else is debatable.
Now, what about the UN Sustainable Development Goals?
Yeah.
Those seem like a good thing.
Yeah, on the surface, right? Like reducing poverty, clean energy, all of that.
Exactly. But are there downsides to those goals?
Well, let's look closer.
Okay.
Goal 8, for example.
Okay.
It's decent work and economic growth.
Okay.
Now, on a global scale, that means promoting policies that facilitate trade and investment, which sounds reasonable enough.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes those policies end up prioritizing big businesses over small local ones.
Okay.
Think about factories closing in one country.
Yeah.
Because labor is cheaper somewhere else.
Yeah.
Good for global growth, maybe.
Yeah.
But maybe not so good for that community that lost jobs.
So it's not always some like evil scheme, but these well-intentioned global goals can still have downsides.
Absolutely.
Especially for people on the ground.
Yeah.
Which brings us to, I think, the biggest question.
Well, I think so too.
If these systems are so complex and powerful,
what
can we as regular people actually do?
That's the big question.
It can feel really overwhelming.
Oh, yeah. That's where we shift gears.
Okay.
It's not about fighting some imaginary globalist boogeyman.
Right.
It's about understanding the real effects of these systems on our lives.
Okay.
And figuring out how to navigate them.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, even influence them.
Okay, so less conspiracy theories?
Exactly.
More practical action?
Practical steps.
I like it, but where do we even begin?
Well, first, you got to get informed.
Okay.
But not paranoid.
Right.
You have to understand the systems at play.
Okay.
The trade deals, the laws, the corporate lobbying, and stick to credible sources of information.
Right.
There's a lot of noise out there.
There is.
But we need to cut through it and focus on the facts.
Focus on the facts.
Yeah.
So we need to be informed. We need to understand the forces at play.
Right.
But then what?
Yeah.
How do we translate that knowledge into action?
Well, that's where this idea of localizing your power comes in.
Okay.
You see these big systems, they thrive on scale.
Mm-hmm.
But us as individuals.
Right.
We thrive on the small stuff.
So what does that look like in practice?
The source material had some really interesting ideas about this.
Okay.
It talked about how communities in places like Cuba, they had to get creative during sanctions.
Right.
Building these urban farms.
Interesting.
Setting up barter networks.
Okay.
Finding ways to make do with what they had.
Yeah. It's kind of like the necessity is the mother of invention.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Right.
And it got me thinking.
Yeah.
Even without some major crisis,
there's
a lot we can learn from that resourcefulness.
Mm.
What if we start building that resilience now?
Okay.
Even if things seem relatively stable.
I'm getting a bit of a prepper vibe here.
Right.
But I see your point.
I understand that.
Yeah.
It's about being prepared, not panicked.
Right.
We're not talking about, you know, building bunkers, hoarding supplies.
Yeah.
It's about taking practical steps.
Okay.
To become more self-sufficient, less reliant on these massive global systems.
So learning to grow our own food,
six
our own stuff, maybe even barter with our neighbors.
Right.
It's not just about being thrifty.
Yeah.
It's about having a backup plan.
It is. It's about options.
If things go sideways.
Exactly. And, you know, it can be empowering too.
Yeah.
Imagine being able to provide for yourself.
Right.
And your community.
Yeah.
Regardless of what's happening with the global economy.
Yeah, I could see how that would be a huge confidence boost.
It really is.
Okay, but let's be real. Not everyone has the the money, the space
right.
to become a full-blown homesteader.
Yeah.
What about those of us who are, let's say, less DIY inclined?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I hear you. It's not an all or nothing thing.
Right.
Even small steps can make a big difference.
Okay.
Start with something you enjoy.
Okay.
Maybe try growing some herbs on your windowsill.
Okay.
Learn to sew a button back on.
All right.
Join a local repair cafe.
Okay.
Learn to fix broken appliances.
Right.
These are all little things that add up over time.
Okay. So it's about being mindful.
It is.
Making conscious choices.
Exactly.
Okay.
Think about your daily habits.
Okay.
Can you buy less stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Reduce reliance on single-use plastics?
Yeah.
Support local businesses instead of multinational corporations.
Yeah.
Every little bit helps.
Okay.
It all adds up.
So what about the financial side of things?
Well, that's a big one.
Building financial resilience feels especially important these days.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's about creating a buffer so you're not completely wiped out.
Right.
If something unexpected happens.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a job loss, a medical emergency, whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
So like having an emergency fund.
Yes.
Paying down debt.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe exploring alternative ways to earn income.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's about diversifying your options.
Right.
Having multiple streams of income.
Mm-hmm.
Not putting all your eggs in one basket.
Got it.
The source even talked about things like local currencies or time banks.
Time banks?
Yeah.
What are those?
It's this really cool concept where people exchange services directly.
Okay.
Using time as the currency.
Okay.
Instead of money.
Interesting.
So you might help someone with their gardening for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then get an hour of childcare in return.
Wow, that's really interesting.
It's a great system.
Yeah.
A great way to build community connections.
Yeah.
Support each other without relying on those traditional financial systems.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
So we're getting informed. We're localizing our power.
Mm-hmm.
We're building financial resilience.
Yes.
What else can we do to navigate these global systems?
Well, there's strength in numbers.
Okay.
We need to organize.
Okay.
And amplify our voices.
So you're talking about joining forces with like-minded people.
Exactly. Find or start groups that align with your values.
Okay. Yeah.
Be a labor union, a farmers market collective, a digital privacy advocacy group.
Yeah.
Whatever resonates with you.
Right. Because together we can make a bigger impact than we could individually.
That's the idea.
Right.
And don't underestimate the power of social media for sharing information and mobilizing action.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen how online movements can bring attention to issues.
For sure.
Put pressure on those in power.
Okay, so we're informed.
Right.
We're connected. We're speaking out.
Uh-huh.
What about holding those in power accountable?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it feels like they're just pushing a narrative.
It can feel that way.
That benefits them no matter what we do.
You're right. Those in power often control the narrative.
Yeah.
But we don't have to accept it blindly.
Okay.
We need to challenge those narratives.
Mm-hmm.
Question the stories they're telling.
Right.
And offer alternative perspectives.
So like if a policy is benefiting a big corporation.
Exactly.
While hurting local communities.
Right.
We need to call that out.
You got to call it out. Use data.
Right.
Use personal stories.
Mm-hmm.
Use whatever you can to expose the real impacts of these policies.
Okay.
Show people that there are other ways of doing things.
So it's about speaking truth to power.
Yes.
But also speaking truth to everyone.
To everyone.
Right.
Yeah.
Helping people see the bigger picture.
Exactly.
How these systems are affecting their lives.
It all comes back to that.
Okay. And finally.
Okay.
And I think this is crucial.
I think so too.
We need to cultivate mental and emotional resilience.
This is huge.
Yeah. Tell me more about that.
Well, think about it. If you're constantly bombarded with fear-mongering news, doom and gloom predictions, conspiracy theories, it's going to take a toll on your mental state.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
It's like a constant state of low-grade anxiety.
Exactly. And that anxiety can be paralyzing.
Right.
Makes you feel powerless, hopeless, and less likely to take any positive action.
Hmm. So how do we combat that?
Great.
How do we cultivate mental and emotional resilience in a world that often feels like it's falling apart?
Well, it starts with being mindful of your media consumption.
Okay.
It's easy to get sucked into that 24/7 news cycle.
It is.
But it's important to step back
and
curate your information intake.
So no more doom scrolling before bed?
Ideally.
Yeah.
Seriously. Be selective about the sources you trust.
Okay.
Limit your exposure to negativity.
Right.
And make sure you're balancing out the heavy stuff.
Okay.
With content that inspires you, uplifts you.
Right.
Educates you.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like we need to nourish our minds.
We do.
With positive and empowering information.
Exactly.
Just like we need to nourish our bodies with healthy food.
Exactly. We need a balanced diet.
Right.
But we also need a balanced media diet.
A balanced media diet.
Yes.
I like that. Okay, so we're being mindful of our media diet.
Right.
What else can we do to build mental resilience? So we're being mindful of our media diet.
Yeah.
What else can we do to build that mental resilience?
Human connection is huge, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Cultivate a strong support system.
Okay.
People who share your values, who lift you up, who can offer a different perspective when things feel overwhelming.
Right.
We're not meant to go through this alone.
It really does take a village.
It does.
And speaking of feeling empowered.
Yes.
I feel like that plays a big role in resilience, too.
Absolutely. When you feel like you have agency,
mm-hmm.
like you can actually make a difference.
Right.
It gives you this sense of hope and purpose.
Yeah.
And that fuels resilience. Mm.
So even if we can't single-handedly topple these massive global systems,
right,
we can still focus on the things we can influence.
Exactly.
Like you said, starting local, building skills, connecting with our communities.
Those small acts of resistance.
Yeah.
Those everyday choices we make,
right,
they add up to something much bigger.
Yeah.
It's about the ripple effect, you know.
Right.
Inspiring others, creating change.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just in your own little corner of the world.
I think sometimes we get so caught up in the scale of the problems.
Yeah. It's easy to get discouraged.
That we forget about the power of small actions.
For sure. But resilience isn't about being perfect.
Okay.
Or never feeling fear or doubt.
Right.
It's about acknowledging those feelings.
Yeah.
Working through them and then choosing to move forward anyway.
So it's like a muscle.
It is.
The more we practice resilience,
yeah,
the stronger we become.
The stronger we become, exactly. And just like any muscle,
okay,
it needs to be exercised regularly.
So how do we exercise our resilience muscle?
Well, it means stepping outside your comfort zone.
Okay.
Challenging your assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
Even embracing discomfort as a chance to grow.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right.
Yeah, discomfort as a chance to grow.
Yeah.
Okay, my mind is officially blown.
That's what we aim for.
Yeah.
But seriously, this has been such an eye-opening conversation.
It has.
We've gone from shadowy cabals to gardening to mental fortitude.
Right.
It's amazing how interconnected it all is.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's like this whole web of systems and choices.
It is.
And ultimately, it comes down to taking responsibility.
Yeah.
For our own piece of that web.
Exactly. And recognizing that we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a role to play in creating a future.
Right.
That's more equitable, sustainable, and resilient.
Well said.
That's right.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into navigating global systems,
yeah,
what's the one key takeaway you want our listeners to remember?
The one key takeaway. I think it's don't underestimate your own power.
Okay.
Yes, these systems are vast and complex.
Yeah, they are.
But we're not just passive bystanders.
Right.
We have agency. We have choices.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the ability to make a difference.
Right.
Both individually and collectively.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's so easy to feel helpless.
I know.
In the face of these global forces.
It really is.
But ultimately, we do have more power than we realize.
We absolutely do.
Well, on that empowering note.
I like it.
We'll leave you to ponder your own role in this intricate global tapestry.
Yeah, think about it.
Remember, knowledge is power.
Absolutely.
Action is key.
Yes.
And resilience.
Mm-hmm.
That's our superpower.
That's it.
Until next time, deep divers, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep building a better world, one mindful choice at a time.
Love it.